The reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 to 13, and can be found on page 1141 of the Bibles on the coffee tables in front of you. Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
As we stand, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that that is true, that your love is the best love the world could ever know. And we pray that as we look at this passage of the Bible together, that by your Spirit, you would open our eyes to see more of what your love is like. And by your Spirit, you would change our hearts, that we would love in a way that reflects your love. Amen. Do sit down, and it'd be a great help to me if you could be turning back to Romans chapter 15. Page, what is it? 1141. We've spent the last few weeks looking at this letter that Paul wrote to Christians in a church in a place called Rome, a very long time ago. And in that reading, I'm going to focus on one verse. It's chapter 15, verse 7. That's the verse we're going to look at together. And here is what the Lord is telling us to do today. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Accept one another. Accept one another. And you say, okay, accept one another, but what does it mean to accept one another? I think it's a little bit like this. We've got technical, we always have technical issues. It's one of our core values, have technical issues. I've got a plate of, I think it's iced Madeira cake. Here I've got this plate of iced Madeira cake. I've got two plates of iced Madeira cake. And there is a huge temptation on my part just to, eat it all myself and just sort of sit here and munch away. There's about 10 slices. I reckon I could sort of do that by about the end of tea. I could have worked through it. And there's a massive temptation to do that. But the Lord says, accept one another. So I could just go, well, I don't really know you guys there. I've got my cake. I accept that you're sitting there. Lovely. You sit there. Great. I've got my cake. I could just do that. Or I could say, no, accepting them means not just I accept that they're there and I eat my cake, but I include them in my cake. I include them. So I go up to them with napkins and I say, "Would you like a piece of cake? Lovely cake. Would you like a piece of cake? Take a piece of cake. Take a napkin. Take a napkin. All take a
napkin. There you go.
And you see how, rather than just eating the cake for myself, I've included them. I've shared it with them. And we're all friends now because we've got this Madeira cake in common. Iced Madeira cake. Lots of pounds of cake. So they are now feeling well and truly accepted because they have shared in my cake with me. And I didn't keep it to myself. I included them. But how are the rest of you feeling? A little bit left out? I always do this. Accepting one another means not just tolerating the fact they're there. It means including them in what we've got, sharing what we've got with them so they feel part of things. What sort of people do we find it hard to accept? Let's just take a moment to think that through. What sort of people do we find it hard to accept? Who are the sort of people that we don't really invite back to our house to play? Who are the sort of people we don't pick for the team? Who are the sort of people we don't really want to sit next to? Who are the sort of people we wouldn't really invite to a party we were holding? Who are the sort of people we don't talk to over tea? Who are the sort of people we wouldn't really want in our small group? Who are the sort of people we wouldn't really give a lift home to? Just take a moment to think that through. Perhaps write some thoughts down. Who are the sort of people who are hard for us to accept? Perhaps talk to the person next to you or just sort of quietly make a list. Get some thoughts. How's everyone doing? Have you got some ideas? Who are the sort of people we find it hard to accept? See, in the days before PowerPoint, we had flip charts. Flip charts are brilliant. Who's got some ideas? What are some of the sort of people you find it hard to accept? Now, this is where I actually need a runner. Who could be a runner? A microphone runner. Kenny's a good runner. Right, Kenny's going to run. And if you put your hand up in the air, Kenny will come. Who are some of the people who find it hard to accept? I think, is that Tom there? Tom's there's got an idea.
Mad terrorists.
Mad terrorists?
Good point, Tom.
I've just put terrorists, if that's all right. Who else? Sort of people we find hard to accept. Just you may have to shout it out, because otherwise Kenny's going to be sort of, you know, climbing over people. Shout it out. Who are the sort of people?
Yes. People who have problems with personal hygiene.
Hygiene, yeah.
Excuse me?
I'm just going to put people who smell, and I think we'll know what you're saying. Yeah.
My school.
So people at school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that particular? I mean, just your school in general? What is it about school that makes it hard to accept? Are they mean? What are they?
Teacher.
Yeah, but what is it about the teacher? She's me. Okay. Any other sort of suggestions? These are very, very helpful.
Burglar.
What? Burglars?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's always good.
Burglars? Yep.
Joyless people.
Joyless people? Say joyless. Yeah. Joyless.
Bullies.
Okay, couple more. I think that's really helpful. Someone over here, anyone got any ideas? Sort of people are hard to accept. People with physical difficulties. How would we put that? Why are they hard to accept? Is that because they're different? Or they're... Right. And what scares us? Okay.
Try to sum that up. People who, can I just say different?
Yeah.
Okay, one more. Who's got one more? And I want to look at, okay, go on then.
People who intimidate us.
So people who might be a bit sort of aggressive towards us. Let's just look at this list. quite a scary list. It's hard to accept terrorists and people who smell and people at school because they're mean and burglars and people who are joyless and people who are bullies and people who are different from us and people who intimidate us. How will we accept people like this? Accept one another, says Paul. Well, the answer is to remember Jesus. Look at how the verse goes on. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Just as Christ accepted you. Look at this list. And in many ways, this list describes me. In many ways, Jesus looks at me, and that is a list that describes me. I am a terrorist in many ways. I want my own way. I'll do what it takes. I'll break the law, and if it means hurting other people, who cares? In Jesus' eyes, I am a rebel who refuses to acknowledge that he is the king of the universe. Smell? Well, interestingly, the Bible uses picture language and talks about our dirtiness, the way we reject God, as being a smell in God's nose. So in many ways, I'm a smell in God's nose. I'm not lovely to him. The things I do, the things I think, the things I say. People at school who are mean, well, I'm mean. Burglars, well, who hasn't taken something from someone else, or even if they haven't taken something from someone else, wished they had what someone else has got? Joyless. That's me, isn't it? I don't go, yay, all the things to thank the Lord for. I think of all the reasons I have to complain and grumble and say, Lord, how come you gave me such a bad deal in life? Bullies. That's me. I want my own way. I don't want you to get your way. I want my way. Different, awkward, yeah. Intimidate. Well, I'm aggressive. I'm all those things. You see, I read that list, and in Jesus' eyes, I'm on the list. But how did Jesus treat me? He accepted me. And what we read in the Bible is he doesn't just give me a piece of Madeira cake. He gave me his life. On the cross, he opened his arms wide and said, I accept you this much. I'm prepared to die for you. That is how much I want you to be included in my family. That is how much I accept you. It's a pretty wonderful thing, isn't it? I guess all of us long to be accepted. We often feel we're not good enough, or we're not funny enough, or we're not clever enough, or not sporty enough, or not kind of godly enough. And Jesus, the King of the universe, says, whoever you are, wherever you are from, whatever you have done, I accept you this much. I want you to be part of my family. I want to share all that I have with you. Isn't that wonderful? And when we understand that Jesus has accepted us, it changes our hearts. And it makes it possible for us to accept people on that list. Richard Wurmbrand was a Christian in a country called Romania. And not so long ago, being a Christian in Romania meant that you were in danger of being locked up in prison and badly treated and maybe even killed. And Richard was sent to prison. He was treated very, very badly. He was beaten up horribly. And his wife's family also went to prison, and her sisters and her younger brother and her parents were all killed in this prison for being Christians. And one day, Richard met one of the men who'd been a guard at that prison camp, a man called Barilla. And Barilla had now become a Christian himself, and he wasn't a guard anymore in the camp, but he was very troubled. He said, look, I've been involved in killing Christians. And I worry that if I come along to a church meeting like this, no Christian's going to accept me, not after what I've done. And Richard says to Barilla, he says, you don't think Christians will accept you, do you? But come back to my house. There's someone I'd like you to meet. And they go back to Richard's house, and Richard says, in that room, asleep, is my wife. And you were one of the guards who killed her family. And Barilla panics. He says, I must leave. I can't stay here. And Richard says, no, you don't think Christians will accept you, do you? Let's try an experiment. He says, let's try an experiment. I shall wake up my wife and tell her who you are and what you have done. And I can tell you what will happen. My wife will not speak one word of reproach. She will embrace you as if you were her brother. And she'll bring you supper, the best things which she has in the house. I went into the other room and I found my wife still sleeping calmly. She was very weak and exhausted at the time. And I woke her gently and said, there's a man here whom you must meet. We believe he murdered your family. But he's repented and now he's become a Christian. He's our brother. She came out in her dressing gown and put out her arms to embrace him. Then both began to weep and to kiss each other again and again and again, and I have never seen bride and bridegroom kiss with such love and passion and purity as this murderer and the survivor among his victims. Then, as I foretold, Sabina went to the kitchen to bring him food. How did she do it? How did she accept Barilla? The man who killed her family, and she hugs him? And she makes him a meal? Because she remembered that she had been accepted by Jesus. Next time there is someone we find hard to accept, remember Jesus. Second thing to remember is God's plan. God's plan. Now, I want everyone should have a pile of Brio bricks or blocks or something like that on the table. I want everyone to see if they can build a tower. It's a team-building exercise, so it's something we're to do together on your table. You've got a few minutes to build a tower, a wonderful tower, as high as you can, as wonderful as you can. Some fantastic-looking towers going on. Brilliant. Look at this one here. Whoa. And look at that one. It's incorporated Bibles and cups and everything. Brilliant. Has everyone built their tower? Everyone pleased? There's a couple more to finish that. Oh, that's looking good there. That's looking quite ambitious, but good. Okay, stay very, very still, everyone. There's a very clever tower at the back there. Now, everyone has built a tower. And let me say, these towers are to our praise. That's to say, we look at the towers and we think, oh, didn't they do well? Well done, everyone. Look at the clever one at the back. moving swiftly on. Look at the clever one at the back. Look at those over there. Haven't they been creative? These towers are built to our praise. You look at the towers and think, well done, everyone. Look at verse 7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Here is the thing. The God of the Bible is the one true God of all people in all the world. And he is building his church. He's building together people from all over the world. Think of the sort of people who wouldn't normally accept one another. Black and white, East and West, rich and poor, Arsenal fans and Spurs fans. See, the God of the world is building all those different types of people into one family, the church. And when we accept other people who are not like us, Paul says it shows that we've remembered God's plan and we're taking part in what he's doing. And it brings praise to him. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Because the world is meant to look at the church family, all kinds of different people being built together, and the world is meant to go, wow, look at what God is doing. He's making one rainbow people for himself. See what God is doing, and you praise him. You go, wow, what a plan. What a plan, because we live in a world of war and division. And here is God doing what no one else can do. Through Jesus, he's bringing all people of all nations together, all stripes, all colors, to make one family. Here is hope for our world. That's why Paul says, look down in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. See, there is hope for our world, because what a great God, what a great plan. Bringing everyone together, one family. Now go back to your towers on your table. Have a look at them. Look at them carefully. Now look at the green blocks. Anyone got any green blocks in there? Just look at them. Just look at them. What if the blues and the yellows and the reds decided, we don't want green blocks in our stupid tower. No, and we don't want stupid green blocks in our excellent tower. That's what I meant to say. And the blues and the reds and the yellows and the browns, they gang together and decide they're going to get rid of the green blocks. Okay, folks, I want you to get ready to aim a karate chop. Wait, to hold your horses. Aim a karate chop at the green blocks in your tower. On the count of three, you have to knock the green ones out. One, two, three, knock the green ones out. Okay, what happened to your towers? Nothing to bring you praise anymore. No towers anymore. Do you see, when we don't accept one another, when we don't accept the people who are different from us, when we chop them out, we are chopping down God's plan for his world. And it means people won't praise him. They won't go, oh, look, the one true God of all people. Doesn't look like it. And that's why he calls us to accept one another. How? Remember Jesus, how he accepted us, and remember God's plan. And after tea, we're going to be sharing in the Lord's Supper together. And with bread and with wine, we will remember what it cost the Lord to accept us. And we'll remember what it cost him to make us a family of people who are invited to sit at his table and share food with him. So if we're aware of anyone we need to put things right with, because perhaps at the moment we won't particularly accept one another, then over tea would be a great time to do that, to put that right. And as we do that, as we accept one another, as we become a community of people who accept one another, people will look on at us and they will see something of how great our God is. They will see that through Jesus, he has accepted us. And they will see that through Jesus, he is making all kinds of people into one big family. And when people see that, they will go, wow. And they will praise him. And that's what we long for more than anything else. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we marvel that you have accepted us. And we pray that you would fill our hearts afresh with the wonder of that, that our hearts would reflect that in the way we accept others. And we pray that for the sake of your great plan and your praise. Amen. Just going to take a moment or two to ponder these things. There'll be some questions up on the screen, but just a minute to think these things through for ourselves, and then Ed will lead us.